In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska held its 85th Tribal Assembly yesterday. For the first time, it was held virtually, and it was a condensed version of the usual three-day event. President Richard Chekyaish Peterson says economic sovereignty is ultimately the council's goal.
Moving forward, you know, we're doing economic development. We're looking at, you know, reentry and recovery are big issues for us. You know, a tribal college is really being discussed, and we're just looking at new ways to expand services for our tribal citizens.
The meeting also included discussions of issues including public health, climate change, subsistence, and support for congressional legislation. Peterson says the resolutions involving money for the tribe or that might have been controversial have been forwarded to the Executive Council at the tribe's next meeting. The Assembly also held Executive Council elections. Most of the current Executive Committee was reelected, with the exception of two new vice presidents.
We have Tasha Hotch from Anchorage was elected, and Delbert Kadake from the community of Cake. We just had our reorganization meeting this morning. I think both are very excited and eager to roll up their sleeves and get to work.
Lisa Lang was elected to serve a four-year term as the council's chief justice. Summer is typically the money-making season for many Alaska businesses as tourists flock to the state, but this summer the pandemic made that a lot harder. The season is changing now, and some businesses didn't survive the summer. As Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins reports, the ones that did are now preparing for the long winter ahead.
On a September evening at Cynosure Brewing, customers are scattered between the tap room and a makeshift outdoor patio, where a food truck serves up dinner. This outdoor scene, though welcome, is not what the brewery's owners envisioned for their space when they opened 4 years ago. Cindy Drinkwater is one of the brewery's owners.
We wanted to create a comfortable space for people to come in and have a beer and converse, read, relax, which now, during the pandemic, obviously is sort of the antithesis of social distancing.
Cynosure does some distribution, but their business model is mostly built around in-store sales. Drinkwater says that's been tough this summer, with fewer tourists and changing regulations to keep up with. The silver lining, she says, has been the introduction of the patio space, which customers have loved. Drinkwater says they are seeing fewer customers taking advantage of that space as the weather changes. Drinkwater says they are guardedly optimistic about the future.
Knowing that it was going to be a long, kind of cold, dark winter, it's always been on our mind. And so we've been trying to be very conservative about spending money.
In an August survey, the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation found nearly 70% of responding businesses experienced a decline in revenue during the pandemic. 17 businesses said they're at risk of closing permanently. And outdoor spaces like the one at Cynosure have helped keep a steady flow of customers at many Anchorage businesses this summer. But not all businesses are positioned to create those spaces. Derek Green owns Waffles and Whatnot.
It has been crazy with COVID.
Green says the parking situation at his business has prevented him from establishing outdoor seating. And dine-in customers have not been coming in like they used to. The business also has a food truck, which has helped keep sales up. And Green says he's putting a lot of work into making the restaurant even safer. He's poured money into installing new air filtration systems. Green says despite a slew of challenges and revenue losses, he feels confident heading into the winter.
So this is going to sound crazy, but I'm actually a little excited for where we are right now. Because if a business can survive, if a restaurant, specifically a food service business, can survive in this COVID environment, then once the economy comes back, then we're going to be in an absolutely amazing position, and we show that we have a viable business that can last through really tough times.
The impacts of the pandemic on Anchorage's business community go beyond the food and beverage industry. Pandemic precautions have led to people congregating and browsing less, a trend that's a big deal for an art gallery. Georgia Blue owns a gallery in Midtown Anchorage. Blue says just this month, she started to see the return of browsers.
I feel like there's more people coming in just to browse, enjoy the art, see what's new. Otherwise, that had really ended.
Blue says she's been developing her online space and leaning more heavily on those sales. But one thing she's really missing is the gallery's First Friday events, which used to bring hundreds of people to the business once a month. Blue says she doesn't fear the winter, but she does have concerns about the coming months.
I don't see like winter or the darkness or anything like that really affecting us. I think what's going to affect us in the winter months will be what the virus is doing.
Recently, Anchorage has seen a new surge in COVID-19 cases, highlighting the uncertainty that still exists around the trajectory of the virus. But so far, these business owners say one thing has been constant and reliable: local community support. In Anchorage, I'm Abby Collins.
Petersburg has seen an unusual amount of black bears in town this year. Biologists think the bears' natural food sources have been hard to come by. It's been a low salmon and berry year, and the bears are in town looking for meals. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
There have been a lot of black bears in Petersburg this fall. The local police department has responded to many calls from concerned residents. Also on standby is Frank Robbins, the area management biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
It's been busy. It's been really busy. We had bears that came into the city limits pretty early this summer, and it's continued.
Robbins won't try to guess how many individual bears they've dealt with. One of the latest incidents was a black bear sow and her three cubs near Petersburg's elementary school Tuesday afternoon. The four bears were chased out of town by local police, shooting them with deterrents, beanbags, and rubber bullets. Kids were held after school until the coast was clear. Robin says the cubs were from last year and are around 18 months old. Their mother has helped them survive for a year and a half, but now they're learning bad habits in town, and their fate is uncertain.
That's the ultimate problem, is that you get food-conditioned bears, and at that point, you know, we have a real concern that even if we capture and relocate them, they're going to come right back because they know that, you know, food's readily available.
The state has already relocated three other bears to the southern end of Mikhoff Island, about 30 miles away. But Robin says the bears won't stop coming back into town if they can find food in trash bins. He says most residents he talks to understand the issue and are being responsible, but it only takes one home in a neighborhood to create a problem. He says people might not see the trash remnants near their homes, but he's found a lot of garbage strewn about on the muskeg.
In some of the muskeg, there's trash scattered everywhere. Bears will come in, if they can access the trash bag, they'll grab it, and then they'll carry it out into the muskeg where it's more secluded, and they can rifle through it and find the goodies.
If it becomes habitual behavior, it can lead to bears getting braver and breaking into people's homes. At that point, the animals would be put down by authorities. It can also cause run-ins with residents. The state fined a resident for negligently feeding and also killing a bear in August. Local hunters are also bringing home moose to butcher now, and it's important for scraps to be disposed of appropriately. Robin says bears are just looking for calories before hibernation.
We live in bear country, and keeping bears away from human food and garbage is the most important thing we can do to prevent conflicts and confrontations between bears and people.
Petersburg's trash cans distributed by the borough are not bear-proof. They are large plastic bins with a flip-top lid and are easily knocked over. The borough advises trash customers to keep their bins secure and only put them out to the curb on the day of trash collection. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Lawmakers from Southeast are adding their voices to requests for a disaster declaration for the 2020 commercial salmon fishing season. Democratic and independent legislators from Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka sent a letter October 1st to state officials. They'd like the state to seek a fisheries disaster declaration by the U.S. Commerce Secretary. The letter highlights some of the lowest catches in decades for some species, low prices paid for that seafood, and a loss of markets because of the COVID-19 health pandemic. This is KTOO News.